The following program is produced by the Living Church of God.
And greetings, friends around the world. Do you know what your real future will actually be like? A genuine new world order is coming, but it is far different from the imaginary world order envisioned by most politicians and preachers. Yet it is as sure to come as the rising and setting of tomorrow's sun. Stay tuned.
Tomorrow's World. The Living Church of God presents Dr. Roderick C. Meredith, Richard Ames, bringing you the good news of your future in tomorrow's world. This week, Dr. Roderick C. Meredith reveals the true gospel. And now, Dr. Roderick C. Meredith.
Speaking before the American Congress, Sir Winston Churchill said, "There is a great design and purpose being worked out here below." Do you know what that great purpose really is? Are you willing to let the Creator God reveal that purpose to you from His inspired Word? For it is not being raptured off to heaven with nothing to do, yet it is a purpose filled with challenge, with excitement, with accomplishment. What does your Bible really say about this vital matter? Please go get your Bible if you have one. Check up on me. I want you to do that. Lots of preachers say, the Bible says this, the Bible says that, when it does not say that at all. You need to follow every one of us who talks about the Bible. We do teach the Bible on this program, but you need to know what it says, where to find it, and know what your Bible says. Turn with me if you can. If you have a Bible handy, get it. Turn to Luke 4, verse 4. Jesus Christ said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God." Christ said that man is to live by all the words of the Bible. But the only written word at that time, my friends, was the Old Testament. They didn't have the New Testament yet. And Jesus constantly referred to the Old Testament, constantly through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and he called the Old Testament Scripture. He called the Old Testament the Word of God, and he tells us we're to live by it. Now notice how Jesus described the immediate future in the Bible. Here's what Jesus said in Matthew 24. This is called the Olivet Prophecy. But notice some key things here that I'm going to explain to you. Matthew chapter 24, and I'm going to begin reading here in verse 3. "Now as Jesus sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, 'Tell us, when will these things be, and what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of this age?'" Not the end of the world. The world's not going to blow up. But the end of man's civilization as we now know it. And Jesus answered, "Take heed that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, saying, 'I am the Christ,' and will deceive many." He didn't say a few oddballs has come along and preach some odd thing and deceive a few people. He described the many preachers coming along and deceiving the many. Please think about that. That's what your Bible says. Then he described wars and rumors of wars, nation against nation, and then kingdom, a different Greek word, alliances of nations, world war. And then he said there will be famines, lack of food, people starving to death in big portions of the earth, no doubt, pestilences, which means disease epidemics, and earthquakes in various places. And the earthquakes are certainly destined to increase and get much worse, according to your Bible, and certainly the famines and disease epidemics are going to strike right here in the Western world, as we call it, in a way they have never done before, and we've explained that to you many times on this program. They're not always going to be over in Bangladesh or somewhere like that. They're going to be right here, and you're going to live to see them, most of you watching me right now. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation, and they will kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. This has yet to occur. There's going to be a group of true Christians who will be doing the work of God and preaching this message, and they will be persecuted by all nations. The true work of God will have to grow enough. People will hear about it and know about what's going on. But the true Christians, not all of them, some will be taken to a place of safety. but those who are not close to God will be martyred. And Jesus made that very plain. And then many will be offended, betray one another, and hate one another. Many people all over the earth are going to be offended, and certainly many of the true people of God he's talking about. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will wax cold. People are going to get lethargic. They're going to get lukewarm. They'll just sort of float along, and some of them will believe the truth, but they won't do much about it. They won't be on fire for God. But he who endures to the end, my friends, you can know the truth, and for a while you can even do the truth. But unless you hang in there and endure to the end, you will not be saved. You're not once saved, always saved. You can fall away. And many scriptures show that very clearly. He who endures to the end shall be saved. And then Jesus said something we all need to think about. And this gospel, the word gospel means good news. This good news of the kingdom, a coming government of God on this earth, will be preached to all the world as a witness to all the nations. This message has to go out to all the nations, and then the end will come. Notice it's to be preached as a witness, not to convert everybody, but so people can hear about it and know about it, so they can't say when the great tribulation begins to happen, when Christ begins to come, and the trumpet plagues are poured out, and the last plagues are poured out, and other things like that begin to happen, God, God, why didn't you tell me? He'll say, I did tell you, but you would not listen. My friends, what is the good news of the kingdom of God? Is it just syrupy talk about the person of Jesus? Is it telling the church to get into politics and to remake this world society? When the Bible talks about the gospel of the kingdom, what does it say? Now notice Acts 17 and beginning in verse 6. But when they did not find them, they dragged Jason and some brethren to the rulers of the city, crying out, these, that is Paul, the apostle Paul and Silas, who have turned the world upside down. They didn't like their message. It wasn't a happy message, wasn't it? They turned the world upside down. Have come here too. Jason has harbored them, and these are all acting contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying, there is another king, Jesus. There is to be a real king on this earth, my friends, named Jesus Christ, a real government of God, a genuine kingdom of God ruling this world and the nations on this earth. Turn with me to Revelation 11 now. Revelation chapter 11 and verse 15. The seventh angel sounded, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. What kingdoms? Not kingdoms up in heaven, but the kingdoms here on this earth. Christ is going to take over the United States and Canada and Britain and the nations of Europe and Asia and Africa and all over this earth. This is enormously exciting good news when you think about it. Think about the war and the suffering that will soon end when the true Jesus Christ comes back with power. Picture the great cities of this world, my friends, New York, London, Paris, and the other great cities. Do you realize that the Jesus Christ of your Bible will soon be here on this earth and rule over these people? Why aren't the churches telling you about this very plain biblical truth? Why? Notice Revelation now, chapter 19 and verse 11. Then I saw heaven opened, John writes, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat upon him was faithful and true, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. This is Christ coming back. His eyes were like a flame of fire. Verse 13, he was clothed with a robe, dipped in blood. His name is called the Word of God. The armies in heaven followed him. He comes out with a sharp sword, of course, to strike the nations. He will rule them with a rod of iron. Verse 16, he has a name, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And then we find, of course, he comes and grabs the beast and the false prophet, and they are thrown into, of course, the lake of fire in the latter verses. Chapter 20 continues the story right on. Then John writes, I saw an angel coming down from heaven, having the key to the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hands. And he laid hold on the dragon, that serpent of old, the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. For the millennium, the 1,000-year rule of Christ, Satan is bound because Satan has absolutely deceived people. They're all mixed up. They're spiritually drunk. and they do not understand the truth. So he has to be put away. And then we find the souls of the righteous described, and how those who had not received the mark of the beast or worshiped this coming system, and how they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. And then he says in verse 6, blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. Over such the second death has no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. This is the real future for true Christians, those who really want to follow the Bible, those who really want to follow the Jesus of the Bible. They're not floating off to heaven with nothing to do. They're going to help Christ, assist Christ, teach this world, and rule this world. The priests of Israel were often teachers. We're going to be teachers of the truth, and yet rule the people, guide the people that we're teaching in the right way. This is the genuine good news, which has been in your Bible all along. It says nothing about a rapture. It says nothing about going off to heaven with nothing to do. Nothing. Think about it. At this point, my friends, I invite you to write for one of the most powerful and controversial booklets I have ever written. This booklet vividly describes the genuine message which was sent by God through Jesus Christ. Do you believe the true gospel? This booklet powerfully contradicts what mainstream Christianity says about Christ and his real message, and we prove it from the Bible. This booklet is far different from anything you have ever read or been taught about the gospel. So write or call today and request this free booklet, Do You Believe the True Gospel? Just ask for the booklet on the true gospel.
This informative booklet is yours absolutely free. No cost, no obligation. If you call this toll-free number, 1-800-934-5579. That's 1-800-934-5579. Or send your request to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 501-304, San Diego, California, 92150. With this offer, you will also receive your free subscription to Tomorrow's World magazine. Tomorrow's World magazine keeps you up to date with world trends, Bible prophecy, and the very meaning of life itself. Tomorrow's World. Call now.
Now back to our topic. We were in Revelation 20, verse 6. And Jesus says here through the Apostle John, blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. Over such the second death has no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. 1,000-year rule of Christ here on this earth. That is your future if you're willing, really willing to obey God, to serve God, to walk with God, to prepare for the genuine kingdom of God that's going to be set up on this earth. And remember, Jesus tells us back in the Sermon on the Mount, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these material things will be added. That's back in Matthew 6 and verse 33. So we must seek first the kingdom of God. That's a real kingdom, not just an idea or a warm feeling in your heart. Turn back to Daniel chapter 2, and this verse will help us understand that. And again, Jesus talked about Daniel, referred to Daniel as writing scripture. This is God's scripture here, Daniel 2. And he'd been describing this great image, describing the, of course, kingdoms of the great world-ruling governments of the earth, coming down from the Babylonian to the Medo-Persian to the Alexandrian and finally the Roman empires. And the Roman Empire, of course, is the last, and with various resurrection will be the last empire on this earth before the fifth kingdom, as many commentators call it, the kingdom of God. He says to King Nebuchadnezzar in verse 38, you are this head of gold, but after you shall arise another kingdom, inferior to yours. That was the Medo-Persian Empire. Another third kingdom of bronze, which shall rule over all the earth. And again, that's clearly identified as the Greco-Macedonian Empire of Alexander the Great. And the fourth kingdom, verse 40, shall be strong as iron, like the Roman Empire was. It didn't have the beauty, it didn't have the culture, it didn't have the finesse of the earlier empires, but it was very powerful militarily. Inasmuch as iron breaks in pieces and shatters all things, like iron that crushes, that kingdom will break in pieces and crush all the others. And whereas you saw the feet and toes, partly of potter's clay and partly of iron, you see the Roman Empire was made up of many different nations, different ethnic groups with different languages and cultures, whereas the Babylonian Empire was more pure, let's say, in its lineage, and they were more totally together. But this kingdom shall be divided, yet the strength of the iron shall be in it, just as you saw the iron mixed with ceramic clay. And the toes of the feet, 10 final kings, were partly of iron and partly of clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly fragile. He says in verse 44, and in the days of these kings, these 10 toes, coming down to the end, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom. Now, is God, through Daniel, in the Word of God, and think, Jesus is telling us to live by every word of God. We need to understand this. God is speaking to us. Is the kingdom of God a sentimental idea? Is it just sort of the general idea of people? It's a church that has all these Protestant churches or other churches working together, even though they're in confusion and division. They try to call that the church. Is that the kingdom of God? No, he's been talking about the Babylonian Empire, the Persian Empire, the Greco-Macedonian Empire, the Roman Empire. He's talking about real, powerful governments, real governments on this earth, ruling the peoples of this earth. The God of heaven will set up a kingdom right after that, which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people. It shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. The government of God will stand forever, ruling over this earth under Jesus Christ, and frankly, under the saints, the true servants of God, the true Christians, who will join Christ in ruling this earth. Turn to chapter 7 now of Daniel. Daniel 7, verse 26, he's been describing a little horn, a false prophet rising up among the final kings and speaking great things and trying to change God's law. But he says, finally, verse 26, the court shall be seated, and they shall take away his dominion to consume and destroy it forever. Then the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdoms under the whole heaven shall be given to the people who of the saints, the true saints of God. Those are just true Christians. The Bible talks about all people being saints if they're really in God's church, God's true church, if they're true Christians. He doesn't talk about a saint like some old man that's wearing a black robe and going around saying, holy, holy, holy all the time. This government shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominion shall serve and obey him. This government, this rule of Christ and the saints will be set up on this earth, replacing the final revival of the Roman Empire, which is coming up right before your eyes, if you have understanding, if you have eyes to see. Luke 19 now, verse 11. Now as they heard these things, he spoke another parable, because he was near Jerusalem, and because they thought, that his apostles thought, they still didn't have the Holy Spirit. Remember, the Holy Spirit wasn't given till Pentecost. They thought the kingdom of God would appear immediately. They didn't think it was something in your heart. They knew that Jesus was talking about a literal government. They thought he was going to get on a white horse, get an army, kick out the Romans, and take over. He didn't do that. But he did talk about a coming genuine government. Therefore, he said, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and a return. Christ went to heaven to prepare this government of God and to work with the saints during this church age, teaching us, guiding us, fashioning us, molding us, and preparing us for rule in the coming kingdom of God. So he called his 10 servants, delivered to them 10 minas, and said to them, do business till I come. Use this money. Use your strength, your time, your talents, your abilities. Use them well in God's service. But his citizens hated him, sent a delegation after him, saying, we'll not have this man to reign over us. And so it was when he returned, having received the kingdom, that he commanded these servants to whom he had given this money to be called to him, that he might know how much each one had gained by trading. How do you use the strength, the resources, the time, the talents, the strength that God gives you? He wants to know. And so he called them. And then the first came, saying, Master, your mina has earned 10 minas. I've increased what you gave me 10 times in the service of God. And notice the reward. Is it going off to heaven? to float around heaven all day doing nothing? What did Jesus say here, and what does your Bible consistently say, consistently, over and over? Some people say, well, it talks about the kingdom. Of course it does. But when you get the details, they're talking about the kingdom of God, not set up as an emotion in your heart, not in the church, but a literal government to come back to rule the nations of this earth. And so he said, well done, good servant, because you were faithful in very little, have authority over 10 cities. And we're to be kings and priests in the coming kingdom of God, as we saw in the book of Revelation, to teach the people, to rule the peoples of this earth. And the second came saying, Master, your mina has earned 5 minas. Likewise, he said, you also be over 5 cities. You have the opportunity to teach, to train, to work with, and to rule and to govern 5 different cities according to my ways, my laws, my teachings, the whole way of God. And straighten them out, and not just to hurt them, but to be a servant leader, as Jesus told his servants, to bless them, to teach them, to rescue them, to have mercy upon them, and teach them the right way that would bring them blessings and joy forever. Many years ago, I went to Calcutta, India, and other cities in India as well, but Calcutta hit me particularly. I saw literally in front of my eyes thousands of starving people. They began to swarm around the other young man that was with me on this trip. And we started to give them some money. They were saying, bakshish, bakshish, give me a present. And when we started to pull out our billfold, our Indian guide, he was an Indian himself, he said, don't do that. He says, these people get hysterical. They may tear your clothes off and take everything you have and your passport, and then you won't even be able to go home. So we had to be careful. They were starving. They had the big garbage trucks coming around every morning, not to pick up garbage, but certain of those trucks were to pick up dead bodies. They had the ice tongs. They would throw the dead bodies on the trucks and take them off to be burned. Unknown, unnamed to human beings, as far as these people that picked them up were concerned, having nothing, no name, no nothing. Poor, starving human beings, peoples made in God's image. And it made me desperately anxious to try to help these people and to pray, thy kingdom come. And I wrote an article back then, 10 reasons why Christ must return. And he must return, my friends, if this world is not going to absolute starvation and chaos with all the things we face, if you're reading your newspapers and seeing the things that are coming on this earth. Picture the poor and starving peoples of so much of Asia, Africa, and Latin America, and elsewhere. They need deliverance. They need to be guided and taught the right way of life, which Jesus Christ lived and which he explained in the Sermon on the Mount. They need your help and mine in the soon coming government of God. We can help them, bless them, teach them. The kingdom of God will be set up on this earth. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 now, if you're following me. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 3. The Apostle Paul says, but even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded. Yes, the God of this age is Satan the devil, as we've explained so many times, and as the Bible says over and over. Most of you don't understand that. You need to start reading about it. There is an invisible force. Yes, the force is there, but this is the wrong force, and is called Satan the devil, a spiritual being with demons, false spirits under him, confusing people, upsetting them, causing them to be turned away from the way of God. Satan the devil, the god of this world, has blinded people who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. Therefore, my friends, there is great confusion, suffering, wars, disease, terror, and death. So we need to really understand that and recognize the tremendous opportunity we have to help straighten out a very confused and war-torn world. We've got to do that. We just must do that. Again, my friends, be sure to call or write immediately for your free copy of our controversial booklet, Do You Believe the True Gospel? You need this booklet because most of you have never before understood the genuine message Jesus Christ brought from God. So this booklet will open your eyes.
This informative booklet is yours absolutely free. No cost, no obligation. If you call this toll-free number, 1-800-934-5579. That's 1-800-934-5579. Or send your request to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 501-304, San Diego, California, 92150. With this offer, you will also receive your free subscription to Tomorrow's World magazine. Tomorrow's World magazine keeps you up to date with world trends, Bible prophecy, and the very meaning of life itself. Tomorrow's World. Call now.
My friends, notice that even the Apostle Paul writes very clearly about our participation in the coming rule of Jesus Christ on this earth. This is not something Jesus does alone. He does it with us, through us. He directs us. He supervises the true Christians of God. If you're willing to be one of those people in ruling this earth, teaching and straightening out this earth. Notice 1 Corinthians in your New Testament. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 1. Dare any of you, having a matter against another, go to law before the unrighteous and not before the saints? Why are you going down the street to some worldly court when God is trying to train you now to give judgments, to teach, to train, and to make right decisions? He says, do you not know that the saints will judge the world? That's our job. That's our calling. And if the world will be judged by you, are you unworthy to judge the smallest matters, problems between brethren in the church? Do you not know that we shall judge angels? We'll judge the angelic hosts later on. God is going to use us as his tools more powerfully than we have realized. How much more things that pertain to this life? So God wants us to learn to be leaders, to be judges. True Christians are now in training for the government of God on this earth. Are you attending a church where this true message from God is being taught? Why not? For there's a genuine new world order coming soon to your city. You need to get ready. This world government will bring a depth of lasting peace and joy which the world has never known before. That is the real good news. That is absolutely inspiring good news if you will do your part to be included and be willing to give your life to God and do what God says. That is your genuine future. Again, call or write immediately and request your free copy of Do You Believe the True Gospel? Don't delay, my friends. The operators are waiting. And be sure to make time each week to tune in to Tomorrow's World program. On this program, you will gain precious information and insights available nowhere else. Richard Ames and I will give you understanding of current events and of the exciting prophecies of tomorrow's world. See you right here next week.
This informative booklet is yours absolutely free. No cost, no obligation. If you call this toll-free number, 1-800-934-5579. Or send your request to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 501-304, San Diego, California, 92150. We invite you to visit our webpage at tomorrowsworld.org. The preceding program is produced by the Living Church of God.